This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Delegates from around the world gathered in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia this week to determine the newest additions to the list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites. There were more than 1,100 sites listed worldwide, and only 24 of them were in the United States when the meeting started. On Tuesday, Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks became the 25th in the U.S. and the first in Ohio. Joining me now to talk about the cultural significance of the earthworks and what impact the World Heritage Site designation could have in Ohio are Ohio History Connection Chief Historic Sites Officer Jennifer Altman. Welcome, Jen. Ohio State University Associate Professor.
Welcome.
Thanks for being here. Ohio State University Associate Professor in Comparative Studies and Newark Earthworks Center Director, John Lau, who is also a citizen of the Pokagon Potawatomi Indian Nation. Thanks for being here, John.
Sure, and very good pronunciation, Lucy.
Thank you for the training. And Fort Ancient Earthworks and Nature Preserve Site Manager, Bill Kennedy. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you.
Ohio History Connection is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Do you have questions about the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks or the UNESCO World Heritage Site selection process? You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Bill, describe the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks. How old are they? What do they look like? Where are they located?
The earthworks that were nominated for World Heritage status are just a subset of many other earthworks, not all of which have survived to the current age. But these are found throughout southern Ohio. They are earthen constructions that were made about 2,000 years ago, up to maybe about 1,600 years ago. The name Hopewell is just a name that archaeologists have come up with to describe these places, to refer to it. It is, in a sense, the physical manifestation of a religious movement that's happening throughout the eastern United States around that time.
John, what do we know about what the earthworks were used for and the people who made them?
Well, we can speculate about a lot of things. We don't know how they were politically organized. We don't know a lot of their social structure. But we know that they were egalitarian, that these monuments, these earthworks and mounds were built by consensus, not by coercion or force. So that's really cool. We also know that they were interested in space, their environment, time, and the skies. The octagon in particular is an astronomical observatory that tracks the lunar moonrise over an 18-year, 219-day period, moving up and north and south on the eastern horizon. So they're really quite fascinating and incredible places. Hmm.
Jen, this World Heritage Site designation has been in the works for several years now. Why is it so important?
Well, there are a lot of reasons why it's really important. You know, I think one of the first is that it's important to honor the ancestors of American Indian peoples who did this amazing, you know, built these amazing places that include geometry and astronomy and just unbelievable knowledge of soils and the earth and the sky. So that's, you know, that's the primary reason to do this. And, you know, just to bring awareness to that incredible genius, to help Ohioans and people all over the world know about that. That's the reason that we do this work. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, bringing pride for all of us who are lucky enough to live in communities and work with organizations where we steward them and to share that American Indian story that's so important, that's so underrepresented, so undertold. And I get really, really, really excited when we have school groups come and we see children coming to learn about these places, and then they often are the ones who tell their families and their parents. So, yeah, just thrilled that we have this designation that will bring such awareness to this incredible, incredible achievement of American Indian people 2,000 years ago and the continued interest in these places by their descendants today and continuing that story. So we don't just tell the 2,000 7-year-old story. But we also are working with tribal nations today, and they are part of the work. And that's really important, too.
Bill, what are some of the criteria that these World Heritage Sites must meet to be listed on this?
UNESCO lays out 10 different criteria that you can work towards to demonstrate that something is worthy of this level of recognition. So of those 10 in this nomination, there were two that were kind of the focus. One is that these places represent a masterpiece of human creative genius. I think Chief Wallace said it best the other day. She said, they weren't just geniuses, they were uncommon geniuses. The other one is places that bear a unique or exceptional testimony to a culture, tradition, or to a civilization, living or disappeared. And I think one of the most important things to kind of echo what Jen just said is to recognize that although these sites were built a long time ago, these are not monuments to a vanished people. These are have descendant communities that are living and thriving tribal nations today.
Yeah. Jen, what are some of the other places on the list that people would recognize?
Well, there are lots of places. Thanks for asking that, because we find it's one of the best ways to help people understand how important World Heritage is just to share the places they already know. So we're talking about places like the Great Wall of China, the Grand Canyon, Stonehenge, Machu Picchu. Some people don't realize the Statue of Liberty is actually on the World Heritage list. And you know, places like Chaco Canyon and Mesa Verde. And then I like to point out a couple that are a little bit less well known, but are American Indian earthworks as well, from different time periods and in different places. So there's Poverty Point in Louisiana and Cahokia outside of St. Louis. So some places are really well known and some places are a little less well known, but they are all equally important in the story of humanity.
John, what are some of the environmental protections that this designation will give the ceremonial earthworks?
Well, these sites are already primarily state parks or national parks. So they have that protection in a sense already. I think that World Heritage inscription will cause people to recognize and celebrate even more these spectacular places, and much less likely to infringe upon them. And of course, we hope with resolution of the lawsuit about the octagon that will clear the way for public access to that too. And all of these spaces should be open to the public so that all of us, as a part of Native pride, it's our ancestors. Almost all Native people are connected to these places in some way or another. But non-Native peoples, this is a part of not just the American Indian story, it's a part of the American story now, too. So it's a legacy that all of us around the world can celebrate.
Bill, tell us a little bit more about the lawsuit that John just referenced. What's that all about?
So the Newark Earthworks makes up two of the eight locations that are part of this nomination. One of those in Newark is the Great Circle, which is freely accessible to people, has a small visitor center attached to it. And the other is the Octagon. And so the Octagon has not had full public access because there's a golf club with a lease that's been on there. So we have been working for a number of years to resolve that so that there will be full public access and so that that golf course will be able to relocate to a new location. So that's still an ongoing process. It's not 100% completed, but right now there are several days of the year that the public can access those, one of which is coming up very soon.
And John, you mentioned this a little bit, but why is it so important to you that the public have access to that all around? All year round, I should say.
Sure. It's important because it's You're speaking of the Octagon specifically?
Correct. Yeah, that's the one that the lawsuit relates to, right?
Right. Absolutely, Lucy. Yes. So, well, you wouldn't have miniature golf on the Parthenon. You wouldn't have an archery range in the Cologne Cathedral. You know, these sites deserve more respect than that. They're not, you know, places to golf. They are places with a private country club. We only get to see it 4 times a year. The next open house being Sunday, October 15th, by the way, for your listeners. Hope some of you can come up and join us. We should have access, like is the case with other World Heritage sites, where it's free access for the public to celebrate, enjoy, and marvel over the spectacular nature of these places.
I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks being added to the list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Jen, we had a caller just a moment ago. She raised the question, will these sites be protected from fracking? There can now be fracking on Ohio public lands, depending on the board that decides that. Will there be any protection from that?
There's no plan for any of that at these places. You know, protections that the sites have were really in place before World Heritage. There are legal protections. You know, they are owned by the National Park Service and Ohio History Connection. And there's a number of protections that go along with that that actually we had to outline as part of our World Heritage application, both state and federal law. And so none of that actually changes with World Heritage. And one of the things they said when they inscribed these sites was that the protections were strong. That's a requirement for World Heritage. So that is fortunately not going to be an issue at these sites.
Okay. Well, we'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll talk with a lawyer who helped a family friend regain possession of artwork that had been stolen by Nazis in World War II. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about how Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks got added to the list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites this week and what that could mean for Ohio. My guests are Ohio History Connection Chief Historic Sites Officer Jennifer Altman, Ohio State University Associate Professor in Comparative Studies and Newark Earthworks Center Director John Lau. He's also a citizen of the Pokagon Potawatomi Indian Nation, and Fort Ancient Earthworks and Nature Preserve Site Manager Bill Kennedy. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. We do have a caller on the line. Barbara, thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi, sure. So I have an 8-year-old daughter who was learning about Indian burial mounds at the end of her school year last year, and she wanted to go and see one. And I said, you know, there's a lot of them around Cincinnati. Let's put it in our GPS and see what we find. And I found that there was one in Norwood, just a few miles from our house. So her and I drove out there, and it was really hard to find. There were no signs. Actually had to use the GPS and drive by it numerous times to actually find how to get to it. And then when we got to it, there was, again, no signs and nothing telling about it, no historical marker or anything. And then what really broke my heart was we found that someone had placed a swing in the tree that's growing out of it, and children had been playing. You know, there was like you could tell where the grass was worn away from them swinging on this sacred burial mound. And it was just so disturbing to me that it's not marked and that people are just not respectful of it. So I was wondering why they don't have signs on all of them or historical markers or something explaining to people what they are.
Okay, thanks, Barbara. Bill, can you help Barbara understand what's going on there?
Sure. First off, when we're talking about burial mounds, we're usually talking about mounds that are actually a little bit older than the Hopewell earthworks that we're talking about today. Most of the burial mounds are usually more like 2,000 to 3,000 years old. And only a few of those are actually protected by Ohio History Connection or the state of Ohio or National Park Service or other government entities, because there were, at the time of European contact, somewhere between 10 and 20,000 of these. Many of these mounds occur on private land. They might be, you know, cared for by a local government or township or a county, but for the most part, these are on private land, and we do not have a whole lot of protections in this country or in this state for these places. One of the things that we really hope about this recognition of World Heritage status is that it will get the attention of landowners and people who may be responsible for the care of these places and get them to realize the importance of them in a way that they may not have otherwise realized.
John, what are some of the other benefits that this designation could bring to these sites and the communities where they're located?
Sure. Well, I also wanted to respond to your caller very briefly, add to Bill's great comments that unfortunately, not everyone is as understanding and as sensitive as your caller. And so sometimes at least Native peoples prefer to stay away from signage, particularly on private lands that there are no protections on, because those mounds and burial areas can be vandalized. Mm. And there's a long history of vandalizing Indian burials. And so not everyone respects them as much as your caller did. So that's an explanation too for the lack of signage. So what's the benefit is that we get to, from my perspective as one Indian person, is the World Heritage Inscription is an opportunity to share with the world this awesome accomplishment of our ancestors. But as Bill and Jen have noted also, it allows us to talk about Indian peoples, not just in the past, but in today and in the future too. And so it really marks in Ohio, a place that was a scene of great ethnic cleansing of Indians in the early 1800s, an opportunity to reflect upon Native peoples' past, present, and future.
We have another caller on the line. Richard, thanks for your call. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a farm down in North Bend, Ohio, and next to us is Shawnee Lookout Park. And I know they've got mounds at that location. I was curious if that included that park.
Okay, thank you. What are all the different sites that are part of this Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks?
So the eight locations that were part of this nomination include the two parts of the Newark Earthwork. That's the Great Circle and the Octagon. In east of Columbus there in Newark, Ohio. In Oregonia, which is outside Lebanon, we have Fort Ancient Earthworks. And then there are five that are cared for by the National Park Service that are in the Chillicothe area. Those are the Hopewell Group, Mound City Group, the Sipe Earthwork, Hopeton, and High Banks. There are many other sites, some that are in very good condition and some that are not. Shawnee Lookout is one that is more like Fort Ancient than the other sites. So there are many other sites that are worth visiting and you know, are interpreted and are good places to go. Shawnee Lookout is one of them. Fort Hill is one of them and many others.
Okay, great. Thanks for that question, Richard. We've heard a lot leading up to this, the meetings this week, talk about Venice and the climate, the humans caused climate change that's affecting Venice, which is one of these sites. Jen, I'm wondering, could human-created climate change and more erratic weather patterns have a negative impact on these earthworks here in Ohio?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And actually, climate change is a huge conversation in the World Heritage community. I think the biggest threat from that we would see at these earthworks is it's actually erosion at these sites. So when you look at increased, you know, rain, increased freezing and thawing, that would be the primary impact. So we do monitor that You know, we occasionally have had to make repairs. And so, you know, it's maybe not as direct as places that are on the coast, but it is something we need to look out for and keep track of.
Well, thank you. We got an email from Holly. Holly emails, when the earthworks were in use by the, she says, Hopewell people, but we've explained that there weren't Hopewood people, were they wooded? If not, will they now be cleared to be more like the way it was? If not, does allowing trees to grow eventually make them much less understandable? John, do you have thoughts on that?
Sure. Well, I suspect that the Ohio History Connection and all of the stakeholders will make decisions about what's happening to these sites in the future. My personal preference would be, we believe that trees have a spirit in them. That's what our elders teach us. And we call them grandfathers. We wouldn't want to cut down grandfathers. We wouldn't want to cut down the trees, clear the trees, but we wouldn't plant any, in my mind. My hope is that we would not plant any more trees. And as those trees lived their natural life and died, they would not be replaced. So these areas would be cleared, as many of them were 2,000 years ago.
Bill, with this designation, what added responsibility, if any, does the state have now to protect and preserve these sites? Is there any extra responsibility that the state or the federal government now have?
World Heritage doesn't necessarily require the state to do things differently than what they were doing before, but what it does is it helps reinforce the message to our legislators and administrators at the state and federal level that these are places that are in need of extra attention, because one of the impacts of World Heritage that can be positive or negative is increased visitation. Some sites, like Cahokia, experienced very dramatic increases in visitation. Now, these sites are large, so they are able to have a lot of capacity for visitors. In the 1930s, Fort Ancient was being visited by more than 100,000 people a year.
Wow.
So there is a lot of capacity there, but at the same time, we have to think about all of the needs that increased visitors have, and make sure that we're respecting the earthworks in how we care for them and present them.
Yeah. Well, this has been such a fascinating conversation. I've been talking with Ohio History Connection Chief Historic Sites Officer Jennifer Altman, Ohio State University Associate Professor in Comparative Studies and Newark Earthworks Center Director John Lau. He's also a citizen of the Pokagon Potawatomi Indian Nation, and Fort Ancient Earthworks Nature Preserve Site Manager Bill Kennedy. Thank you all so much for your time today. Up next,
thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, Nazis looted hundreds of thousands of works of art during World War II, and restitution can be rare. We'll talk with a lawyer who beat the odds. This is Cincinnati Edition.